Good morning, everybody. It's WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 50, 55 minutes today. I have someone I have the greatest admiration for, and he is a friend. You know, I know you're not supposed to have friends if in this business, but he is a friend, and I admire him as a person. His name is John Barrett. He's a state representative. He was the mayor of North Adams when right after John Quincy stepped down. But he's been there a long time. And one of the things why I go back a long way with John Barrett, but when they were talking Mass MoCA, John Barrett was a Democrat. The person trying to push it was, or vice versa. They came together, the governor and John and everybody, and we have Mass MoCA. That you just don't see today, boys and girls. I'm sorry. We got to come together. We got to stop this party loyalty. No matter what, I'm going to vote my party line. Well, what's good for my people? John, it's an honor and a privilege to have you with me. And I remember in Tip O'Neill's book, Man of the House, if I've read it once, I've read it four times. Because, and now I'm going to pull it out and read it again. Because he said, one of the stories, and I'll paraphrase, this kid came to him, and congressman, and said, the whip wants me to vote this way, but my district is dead against it. And Tip O'Neill said, who put you here? Oh, he said, my district, my people. He said, then that's the way you vote. I'll take care of the whip.
Yep, that's so true.
You've been that way most of your life, all of your political life, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you pay the political price for it.
Yes.
And, because of decisions you make. I always tried to adhere to the belief that you do what's best for the majority of the people and not for yourself and or to the others or things like that. But and it's the same way today. And you know, in Washington, they one side of the aisle is devoted to one person. The other side of the aisle is devoted to the Constitution of which they were sworn into, and that's the way it has to be. But you have to make those tough decisions, and you know, if you you know, just stick your finger in the wind and see which way the favoritism or anti is going, then you're not doing a very good job. I had a book that and I think it was Tip O'Neill signed it. He was the one, and in it he said, I understand you're one that never puts your finger into the air to see which way the wind is blowing. And
oh.
That, to me, is the greatest compliment anybody can give
yeah.
me. And, you know, I get so upset with things. I suppose I should use the real word, angry with things. And when people don't do that. And you know, and I'm getting to the point now where I've just seen so much. I perhaps have as much historical knowledge about this county and this state as anybody, as to what went on. And even reporters coming in today, it just galls me when they go to write a story about something, whether it's in North Adams or Pittsfield or any place else, that they don't pick up the phone and do their homework. That's what bothers me, and see how things happened. You know, I got a great call last week from Don McGillis's son, who's writing a book about Pittsfield and things in Berkshire County, and it should be fabulous when it comes out. But he wanted to, you know, tell the story not only about his father and his relationship with the Berkshire Eagle and the years gone by, but he reached out to people. He called me up, and I had never met him before. And we had a great conversation for about an hour or so. And but we don't see that anymore in reporters and things like that. They don't do their research on things and find the history of how something came to be. And I think we need more of that. And maybe we would understand what government and democracy should be all about and how important it is. I mean, my God, I know we don't. I think we still pledge the allegiance in school today. I don't know. When I was teaching, we did.
Yeah.
But we had some allegiance, and we taught somewhat of civics back then, and more so than what we do today. And history was very important to us. And the old saying is, if you make you don't remember history, you're doomed to make the mistakes that you made in the past. But along those lines, that's paraphrasing it. And that's the way it has to be. You just have to look at it that way. But we don't see enough of it today. We're all stuck on,
Clicks, clicks.
our phones and streaming things and getting our news from the internet, which is great in the sense of if you take it for reality. But boy, some of the stuff that comes out, my God, when they talk about, the conspiracy theories that it really didn't happen on 9/11. Well, let me tell you something. I knew a couple of college kids who were down there that went to Williams. They graduated from Williams, and it happened. And people lost their lives. I think two of them are buried in Williamstown, that lost their lives in that. That it's just crazy the things going on. And people are so busy today. They're into their own lives, and they have to worry about their kids. And my God, any parent out there today who's raising a kid, I don't think there's a tougher job that anybody can take on in this world today. And it's, I don't know.
And the respect of institutions. No, I know they're not perfect, but the respect of institutions, school departments, schools, educators, police, politicians, Joe and Mary six pack. That's who I belong. That's my group of people. We got to get that back. The churches. I mean, I happened to just be flipping through channels and I saw the Pope in Lebanon. Now I just saw something on the internet. He was cautioned not to go because of it. He got on a plane and went. Now I'm sure he had security and all that,
Oh, he does.
And then you read where people are going back, younger people are going back to religion. Well, we'll see. But all I'm saying is we have to get respect for each other. Your legislature, the one that went down there and bust and under that big, in that big building, which I've got to call Paul Mark and see if he'll have that restraining order lifted. But you're putting civics back into school. Thank you. Thank you. I had the good fortune, really good fortune, of working on Capitol Hill for 3 years. And all I can tell you is watching back then, I called it the Gilded Age. Tip was speaker, Reagan was president. It was a different world. And how they made bills and discussed bills, it was an educational experience. And fortunately, I went through the Pittsfield Public Schools and I kind of had a civics background, so to speak. So to watch it in action is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And they used to work. I mean, no one was better at it than Silvio Conti and Ted Kennedy. I mean, they went down there and they put their egos in the closet, in the back room, whatever, and they worked it out and got things done. And that's what we have to see more of. But I'll tell you right now, even as we're taping this show, I see that starting to happen in Washington, and it was because of the bombings that are going down on, down in Venezuela. And but it's uniting them. We saw it with the Epstein situation. We're seeing some people open their eyes towards, what's going on here, and we have to do something and get together. Because I'll tell you right now, we're as Americans, we were always very proud, and we still are. Whether it's our athletic teams or whether it's our education, I mean, the research that went on in our hospitals and our teaching institutions throughout this country are so important to us now, and whether we're facing, what you're going through, what others are going through, we have to, deal with that. And again, but now to say we're not going to do any more research when you got, and we just got to get over that, because I'll tell you right now, a lot of people, this coming Thursday, we're going down and we're going to be burying one of our colleagues in the house. She had a valiant fight against pancreatic cancer for 5 years, which was surviving that terrible disease that long is unheard of, but it wouldn't happen without the medical advances that they've had over these years. And she's 53 years old, and now we're going to turn our backs on research. We're going to turn our backs. I mean, I can remember growing up, if you got leukemia as a child,
You're done.
you usually didn't survive it. I mean, now the rate's 90, 95% because of the research that's going on. And now our next greatest challenge is dealing with Alzheimer's, and they've made tremendous strides in that area, and we got to continue to work. And so, that's what this country's always been about. We always wanted to be number one, and a lot of it came from, believe it or not, our immigrants who have come to this country. I mean, I often tell the story about my grandfather, who was an immigrant and opened up a store in Williamstown, a cobbler shop. And I never, my mother never told me whether he had his papers or not. But he was processed, and but we've got to get back to some common sense in this country more than anything else, and even in politics. I mean, I can be faulted for a lot of things that I've done probably over the years, and
Me
but
too.
I always try to act. You try to do the best that you can with what you have. Sometimes I didn't have too much on certain days, I guess, but and made mistakes. But that's what it's all about. My simple philosophy then is that government should be there to help people, not complicate their lives. And it's so
Or make
simple.
money.
And make money. I mean,
But government's there to make money.
I know. I mean, and it's but I said this back in 1972 when I first started out in this game, and I haven't changed since. That's what it's all about. And
But you live it, John. And I'm saying that because we're friends. Because we haven't always agreed on everything. And
No, no,
that's
no.
right. But that shouldn't you shouldn't draw swords, and I see it with families. I did this diatribe just before Thanksgiving about a friend of mine. His son's not coming to Thanksgiving dinner because he voted for Trump. Now he's my age, and so when I saw the son, I said, I don't want to get in the middle of it, but I just want to tell you this. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Your
Yep.
father is my age. Think about it. And he still didn't go. Are you? I mean, I was raised by an Irish mother whose banner was nothing comes above family or before family. And I mean, ours, it's just a different world. But I do want to just say this one piece. They have just, again, research. FDA approves, I can't even say it, nirmadomalaminast for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, my disease. Prior to this, there was no American manufactured drugs for this disease. They're all out of the UK. There's a drug supposedly from Sweden that not only retards this disease, it cures. We'll see. But when I hear this, we're stuck. Especially Alzheimer's. My sister-in-law had it. Watched a brilliant woman. We have to, it just, it's not a political thing. It shouldn't be. It's a humanitarian. And yes, it costs money, but look at what they've done. Look at what they've done.
Oh yeah, it's just been amazing, and it continues to be
Yeah.
that way, you know. And I lost a wife to breast cancer
Oh, I know.
30 years ago, and you know what went on then. If they had had the treatments that they have today and everything, she possibly could have lived through that
Sure.
terrible stretch. And but you know, it was just unknown, you know. And but the advances that they've made in medicine, why would you want to stop? At the same time that you want to give Venezuela, you know, $40 billion or whatever he wants to, not Venezuela, Argentina,
Art, yeah. Argent
Venezuela,
there is
Argentina,
Venezuela.
excuse me,
Yeah.
I get them confused. But why would you want to, you know, bail them out, and we can't even bail out our country and what's going on here? It's just, it's the priorities that we see today in politics, you know. And that's what people should vote when they vote for somebody. Not completely. Don't be a one issue voter.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When I started, that was a lot of that. But be one that's going to at least elect somebody who's going to listen to you. They may not always agree with you,
Right.
but you're going to have a chance to sway their opinion. But on it, you know, we see too much, you know, of that today, and we've got to get away from it. But I honestly believe things are starting to change, not because of good things, people doing good things, but because of bad things that are happening, and all of a sudden they're starting to look at it and
Well,
take it seriously. But priorities, what is a candidate's priorities? If it's the people that he represents or she represents, that's who you want to elect. And
yeah.
that's what it is. You know, I once told someone down there, says, "Well, geez, there's something going on in my district, but you know, there's a vote down here today." I said, "Well, the vote looks overwhelming today. I don't think your vote's going to be missed." And I said, "But you know what? Your votes are back in the district. They're not. They're not in Boston. And that's where you got to pay attention to. And that's what I've tried to do since I become a state rep,
Yeah.
is realize it." And let me tell you something. I went in there thought I knew everything about politics. So I know a lot, but let me tell you something. That was an education going down there, and I'm still being educated with it every day because it is a different world. But
Yeah.
the one that's one constant in this whole thing is you gotta help the people, whether it's as mayor, a county commissioner, or a
Yeah.
state representative or state senator. The people,
Why are
you.
you there? That
That's what we're there
should be
for.
there should be a thing in everybody's office. Why am I here? The people.
Yeah.
I Tony Simonelli, God love him. He's a great guy. And I can always remember him in the Pittsfield City Council saying, "Do we want it or do we need it?" And I said they should put that all the way around the city hall as a banner,
Oh yeah. My mother always taught me that there's wants and there's needs.
Yes, yeah. But and again, I read about this, and I don't want to get too far astray here. But I read about this attendance. Well, like I say, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and I should write something, and I may right now. It's a big thing for me to get up and walk around. But when I interviewed them, every one of them, education was not a priority. For a variety of reasons. Some of them, John, were doomed from birth. And others, and as a teacher, golly, they tried, but they needed extra help or special help. And then they were bullied because they were, or the parents didn't care. One kid says to me, I said, "How come you miss so much school?" It says you're a pro habitually absent. And he goes, "What's habitually mean?" So I said, "A lot." And he said, my mother dropped out of school when I She got pregnant for me, so it didn't have a big priority in our lives.
No,
School.
and that's too bad because you know what? When you say about priority, I know my mother used to harp on it all the time. Get an education. That's one thing they can never, never take away from you.
That's.
You know, and it's true. It's true. It's very true. And I was not the best student in the world, but I'll tell you, I keep hearing her words. And if it hadn't been getting that education, you know, I don't know where the hell I would have been, but.
Well, I went to, as I say, through Pitt, and they never told me until senior year. It wasn't a social event; it was academic. I was shocked, but I made the top half of my class look good. But I learned after touring Southeast Asia that I had to get my stuff in order. Not so much for me. At that point, the GE was here. And I know so many guys that made wonderful, wonderful livings. And up in Adams and North Adams, the factory, the institutions, people made a middle class income without a lot of college or a lot of training. But I realized GE was leaving, And so, therefore, I think people don't really yet understand the damage and the loss of those companies because they established the middle class in Berkshire County.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can remember traveling down to Pittsfield, the early days of campaign. You stood in front of the gates down at GE when you were running countywide. But you know what? It was bumper to bumper traffic all the way from, you know, Adams to Pittsfield and Pittsfield back. All of them going down there. They all carpooled, going there, and it gave them an excellent. But you know what else it gave them? It gave them the opportunity to participate in the stock program that GE offered because of the unions getting that for them, and it allowed the next generation that they to put their kids through school, their kids, and then eventually their grandchildren, and it was just amazing watching it. And now they came together, and you know what? They go home every night. They'd eat supper at the same time. The family sat there, and it was just more of a family unit back then. But you know, those d days are gone. But you know, you have to somehow b rebuild the family unit because some of these kids coming up, you know, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. And everybody said, "Well, why are we spending all this money on this and helping them?" Because that's what we're all about. And you know, it goes back to it, you know, you got to give every kid a chance. And that's what concerns me. And then our seniors, after they work all their lives, making sure that they at least get a decent Social Security check. You know, one of them, one guy was hollering at me a few years ago, "Oh, you Democrats this and you Democrats that, you do want to do nothing but spend money." And I said, "What day of the month do you get your Social Security check on?" "Well, I get it on a Wednesday, the third Wednesday or whatever of the month." And I said, "Well, that's one of the biggest entitlements we have. Yes, you put money into the program, very important, but the government puts a heck of a lot more into it. And make sure and the Medicare coverage, and of course Medicaid and all these things benefit the people, and there isn't anybody coming up that isn't benefited along the way. And I don't care if you're a billionaire or not, you know. But that was the emphasis in making sure of the Democratic Party, and I want to see the Democratic Party get back. That's the way I've always been, you know. I can just remember, and this is going way back when Joe Biden was first elected senator, and you know, I heard him speak, and I've said this before, and it was my message from then on. That was 50 years ago. That, hey, listen, I'm down here to take care of that poor SOB who works 8 hours a day in the shop, and making sure that they can go home and get a decent or make a decent living so that they can take care of their kids. And that was always the philosophy of the Democratic Party to care about, you know, do they get way out there sometimes? Yeah, they do. They do. And you got to rein them in on some things. But the basic tendency, and the Democrats, unfortunately, haven't followed that over the past several years. They're getting back to it now. They realize it. And you know what the slogan is this year? It's affordability, stupid. And that's
Yeah.
saying to every elected official. People are having problems, just like it was 32 years ago when Clinton ran, or 28 years ago, first was elected, and he and James Carville said it's
It's
the
the
economy.
economy, stupid.
It always comes back to that. The quality of life that we can provide for
Sure.
citizens should be our top priority. Our walk through life is, it seems like a long one, but at the when as we get towards the end, we realize and say, hey, that was
Yeah.
really a short walk. And so it's the best that we can do for people while we're here. Don't give me a memorial when I die, because that isn't going to do me any good. It
Yeah.
doesn't mean anything. But if you take the philosophy in politics today that, anything that I do, if I can touch the lives of the people who are now here and those who will never know me, then I know I've done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a I look at public service above self.
Well.
It's truly above self. You're there to serve the people. I think back, Billy Kidderman. I mean, I can go back. Don Butler. Don Butler would be walking North Street, not sending somebody to do a survey. Don would walk and do his own survey every store. And Jimmy Roberto to say they were not in it for themselves, maybe self-satisfaction of getting things done for the people. But somewhere that's gotten lost. And I have to say this because I'll blow a fuse if I don't. When I heard that Head Start, they're worried about funding for Head Start, well, they better not be, because I'm going to tell you, there's one of those that organizations that if those kids don't get Head Start, so many of them will just fall by the wayside. And how do I know that? Because I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and they didn't go to Head Start, and they didn't go to pre-kindergarten, and their attendance in kindergarten through fifth grade was abysmal, but they kept
See, and
getting
that's
passed.
you're so absolutely correct. That kid didn't ask to come into this world.
No.
He was brought into this world, or she was brought into this world. And so now it's our responsibility to make sure that they got a shot at a good life,
Yeah.
and that they can, get an education and do those types of things. But it's just so crazy that of what goes on sometimes, and we seem to forget that. And
Well, and I told a story just recently, but I have to say it again. I interviewed this young lady, and she was petite young lady, very nice. And she was at Taconic, metal fab, right? Welding, cutting. So I said, wow. Because when I worked in a shop, those guys, metal fab guys, were like, and their breakfast was rusty bolts. So she said, I'm learning how to weld so that I can fulfill my dream of being a nurse practitioner. Without my welding, I would never be able to afford it. Now, John, that's probably 10, 12 years ago. So and I've heard since then she's very successful.
Yeah,
But
and yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
no, it was just where we have to be there for those kids. I'm
Absolutely.
sorry, I get on a soapbox and I just go nuts when I hear some of this stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was on the McCann school board.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't know, 45, 50 years ago when I first came up, and I spent 8 years on that board. And I'll tell you the programs that they offered. And part of their education, everybody thinks education, getting an education, is going to college all the time.
Oh.
Oh no. I want to work under the best in my trade, whether it's an electrician, whether it's somebody in metal fab, all of HA the vac systems that are coming along now that the schools just started up with. I mean, all those things, that's education. And if we can offer every opportunity we can, become a simple thing down there, going and taking the cooking program down there. I've seen a lot of kids go to some of the best colleges or Roger Williams, I think, was one down in, I can't think of it, the culinary school down in Rhode Island. But that's an education. And that's, we got to give everybody the opportunity to be whatever they want to be, and I think that's what it's so important. And if we take that attitude, parents today, back in my day, he's not going to college, or she's not
Oh, I
going to
know,
you'll never make it, my guy. Today, they're saying, hey, you've got something there, go to McCann, go to Taconic, get a firm foundation in a trade, as we still call them, and they're more than trades today, because we call it now the McCann Technical School too,
and they're
because of
also
the
professional.
technology that you have to learn, and all those things. And we've evolved over the years into what we have, and that's the good part of what's going on here.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Representative John Barrett. Please stay tuned. This is a conversation that I really believe that you, the taxpayers, you, the citizens of Berkshire County, the Commonwealth, it's about you. It really is. I say this all the time. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. We live by community, our middle name. And I've had people on the show that I totally disagree with. But because they're in this community, they have a right to be on it. You have a right as a citizen to be heard, not scream, yell, rant, threaten all this, but promote a legitimate, articulate argument. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening. WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, PCTV channel 1301. And we are broadcasting in Southern Berkshire at 88.1 FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy there, that's his name is Representative John Barrett. He's gracious enough to come on this program once a month. And I'm thankful for that because he's a man of the people. I mean, he's down there in Boston, but he doesn't bring the Boston stuff home. He's a homeboy. He's like so many of our folks. I've said this: if the United States Congress would run as smoothly as the Massachusetts legislature, we get a lot more done. Really, I'm not kidding you. But how are we looking? Not to go off this stuff, because I really think that you and so many others Paul Mark, former Smitty, former rep Smitty Pignatelli, TFB. You're kind of the mainstays of the Democratic system, in my opinion, because we were raised that they were, that party was for the people, but all the people, and we understood that, but somehow some of us have fallen away being considered all the people. And I think Massachusetts is one of the states that when I was assigned in Texas, I had a run in with a guy because I was from Massachusetts. Yeah, he said, "Y'all from up there?" He said, "Yeah, well, what do you mean by that?" "You know what I mean." "No, what?" "Now, I'm fixing to tell you, I don't think much of Northerners, and I have nothing for people from Massachusetts." And I said, "Well, that's too bad, because I'm your new boss." Oops.
Whoops is right.
But the state, financially, I think the state's in pretty good shape.
We are, but there's a lot of dark clouds there. You know, we have $8 billion in reserves, which we're slowly starting to hit into, mainly to keep the health care system in this state alive.
Yeah.
And there's two health care systems that we've been trying. Obviously, mass health is the most important.
Sure.
And you'd be surprised how many of our friends and neighbors are on that and how many are senior citizens that need it. It's affordable. Oh. It's good insurance. And we've been able to do it with the help of the federal government over the years. And then we have what they call Connect. They call it that. Health Connect, I believe, is it? That is so important to that middle one. You know, everybody forget. We usually take the ones at the top don't have to worry. The ones at the bottom, you have to help. But it's the ones in the middle that have been shut out over the past several years. And Health Connect is a very important program because they go out and it's subsidized a little bit by Massachusetts government, because these are working class people who don't have health insurance or have their own business, and they can get insurance at an affordable price.
Yeah.
They're seeing now, because of the cutbacks in the federal government, they're seeing their insurance go from maybe $350, $400 a month to $800 to $1,000. And they cannot afford it on what they're making. So we've tried to backfill these programs that have been cut, you know, by the federal government, making sure that a kid gets a lunch every day, no matter what your income is, so that we don't stigmatize anybody and they get it. The federal government dropped that program, and many of the states picked up, Massachusetts, one of them. Our hospitals are in precarious positions, especially our community ones, like out here in Butcher County. We have three quality facilities, you know, in Pittsfield and Great Barrington and in North Adams. And we have to make sure, because so many of our citizens are older citizens, that we can make sure that they can handle it. And there's also a law in this country that says anybody that shows up at a hospital that doesn't have insurance, that hospital has to take care of.
That's exactly right.
And which is right, but it's going to put such a strain on the hospitals to be able to do this. So, you know, I mean, we sent $2.4 billion, $5 billion back to the hospitals back in September, you know, helping them out. And we are starting to make sure that we don't have to cut. They're looking at 200,000 people in Massachusetts are going to lose their mass health. And if they don't have that, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know what's going to happen. People are going to drop off the insurance. They're not going to get it, especially those with the Connect program. They're going to drop off and say, "I can't afford it." And so then that, you know, is going to cause all kinds of problems. But those are things that we're dealing with, you know. And I know editorial writers sometimes like to get on us and in the Globe and others, oh, they're not doing their work because they're not in Boston. 90% of my work is in my district, you know, working with businesses, working with people who have problems, working with educators, working with the nonprofits that are out there. There's so many of them. And that's where my work gets done. I'm not going down there to say, oh, gee, I want to nip my name on a bill. You know, that and a buck and a half will get you a cup of coffee. And I think most of, if not all of the reps, not all of them, but a lot of most of the reps feel that way too. And that's what it's all about. And if your rep isn't doing that, you boot him. I mean, or boot her. But I think that's what you have to look at. But that's the things that I'm worried about, the health insurance crisis that we're facing in this day. So we've already, you know, but we prepared for this day. Yeah. And it's always been called the rainy day count. Well, it's starting to rain and the thunder clouds are up there. But here's where we have hope. Maybe something will change in Washington over the next year. And these programs will be restored, some of them, because they have to be. They have to be. We can't turn our backs on any of our citizens. So,
on a personal side, I read a very demeaning article about veterans' disability benefits. Well, I will tell you, by the time you get a disability benefit, unless you've got both arms and both legs and you're blind, blown off, I know for me, I went hither, dither, and there. They sent me to New Haven. They sent me to Vermont. They sent me to Boston. They sent me. But and then I get recalled for a reexamination. And the guy, the doctor, the Polish princess and I went down there, and the doctor said, you know, Mr. Sturgeon, it took me a while to get your records. And I said, from the Vietnam. And I said, well, why is that? I said, well, I'm sorry. I got copies if you want them. Thank God for my God rest his soul, my brother Bernie. He said, I don't care if they give you a receipt for turning something in, keep it. And I did. I got a file there that's that thick of every piece of paper I ever got in the military. Anyhow, long story short, he said, your records are paper. And I said, okay, is that not good? He goes, no, they're just old. And I said, well, I ain't exactly a kid. And he said, no. This isn't coming to go. Most of the records I see today are digitized. He said, yours were paper. And they go all the way back to Vietnam. So quite candidly, I don't know why you're here. So he said, he signed the slip and away I went, and the disability stayed in place. But right now, a lot of people, and rightfully, I'm not going to judge the guy. But right now, Joe Biden, veterans, a lot of us owe Joe Biden because he signed the PAC Act, and Richie Neal and others pushed it. But I will tell you, that was 20, 30 years in coming and stopped dead, I don't know by who. But a lot of us, I guess where I'm going with this, to prove your point, they were going to stop. That was one of the rumors. They're going to start reassessing all veterans and pulling back benefits. Well, a lot of folks don't have a pension. That's what they live on, you know, and same with Social Security.
Yeah, it's terrible. Joe Biden did two things on his way out. Is he corrected that situation. He also corrected the inequity in the public employees not being able to get their Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, and it disappoints me a lot because I knew Joe Biden in his prime. And did he make a bad decision at the end? Yes, he did. And it's too bad because it diminished his career in
Yeah.
this generation, maybe. But in the those when they study what he did, they're going to see that he was quite accomplished at what he came in during the COVID crisis. He got us through that, and he put together Rebuilding America programs. We're seeing construction all over this country, and we'll see it for the next several years. Our fixing our deteriorating bridges, which we seem to have one on every street corner,
Yep.
and doing a massive, restructuring of our airports, which are, and we're seeing how bad it's been. I
Yeah.
mean, all of the chickens have come home to roost here, and the bad situations in our infrastructure in this country. But he stepped up and did it, and you know what? The people he helped the most turned on him. But that's the way it is in politics. But you know
Yeah.
what? He can take gratification, and let me tell you something. He was one tough guy when he's younger, but he stepped in and filled the void for the 4 years, and it's too bad that he made the decision that he made. I think all of us were worried about it, but we were hearing those stories coming out of the White House that everything's fine. He knows what's going on. But you know what? You can't travel to seven countries around the world, then come back and go into a debate and expect to do very well. And that was the beginning of the end. But it's but he was a remarkable public servant, and he did a lot of good things people don't even know about, but touched their lives. And that goes back to what I'm saying. If you can touch the lives of people who never have known you, you've done a good job in that walk through life.
I liked you knew him in his prime when I was on Capitol Hill. He was a force to be reckoned with. He was a force for good. I'll go up there to St. Joseph's and you won't hear me badmouthing Joe Biden. Some of the people that around surrounded him and whatever, well, that's a different story. But I gotta get the facts. There's no facts yet. There's all rumors and innuendos and this and that. And maybe it was good that I am I was an old cop, because I learned early on, don't just think, you got to prove. And but he, it's with so much of everything today, it's put out on the internet as gospel, and it's not gospel. It's some Kokomo.
It's like I see it. This is politics is a tough game, and I'll tell you, I've got more scars on my body than Carter's got liver pills, but
You should do a talk show.
It's
Yeah.
just
Roseanne and I will, we watched the show when I was doing it live, and so we'd sit down at breakfast and the texts were unbelievable. Why'd you have that idiot on? Or you what is it? I gotta clean it up a little bit. You sucked, your show sucked, the guests sucked. I wished you'd just die. And that was probably the most hateful one I got.
Well, I tell you, I went to Ted Kennedy's funeral. I was one of the few mayors at that time that they invited, and I saw people holding up signs, "Good, you're gone. We don't have to put up with you anymore." And the family drives by. You know what? Show some respect. I mean, and I don't mean respect. Just don't show ignorance. And it's awful to see, and it's hurtful. Let me tell you something. I had some family struggles, boy. I'll tell some 30 years ago, and it was rough. It was rough on my parents. It was rough on my wife. But you try to get through it, but it is a tough game. One day you have people that supported your candidacy, and the next day they don't support it. And you don't know why, but what, I guess because they're more interested in the personal element of it, I guess. But
And I think too, like all this ICE stuff, that's not spontaneous. I lived through the protests of Vietnam. Okay, and I was and those were protesters. They really had their belief against the war. They didn't truly understand a lot of it, listening to most of them. But those were protests. These are organized demonstrations, doxing ICE people so their kids are afraid to go to school. I'd like to know who's behind it.
Well, I think it's, it just scares the hell out of me when I see troops in our cities, yep. when I see masked men and women coming in and pulling kids out of cars, pulling adults out of cars for no reason. If you're going back, everybody knows an immigrant. Everybody who's listening or watching this show knows an immigrant that's come to this country. Yeah. My grandfather, I mentioned that many times. I mean, my grandmother who cleaned rooms. I mean, and they came to this country. They built this country. Look at the words of Ronald Reagan and what he said about the immigrants and how important they were to the growth of this country. Yeah. He understood it. And let me tell you something. Ronald Reagan at that time was as right as anybody could be yeah. in his beliefs on stuff. But you go back, he wouldn't make it in the Republican Party at the national level today. Probably. I mean, they booed him right out. And he was really an individual, and I didn't support him, but he was right for our country at that time. He brought stability, and then Bush followed him for 4 years, senior, and then Clinton came in and gave 8 years when the country was in the best shape it ever was. We had a surplus, but that was working together, and then Newt Gingrich came along and wanted to fight everybody, but but, you know, I've lived it. You've lived it. We've all seen it. And
I'm second generation and my grandfather and grandmother. My grandfather worked in the woolen mills, did not have an easy time when he first got here, breaking into the mills because they didn't want Irish. My grandmother was a seamstress, but all their daughters, with the exception of a couple of two, were nurses from St. Luke's School of Nursing. So you're right. We have to let people assimilate. The only drawback is I think opening the border for those years and 10 million or however many, that really broke the system, the political system, the economic system, the housing system, the health care, because 10 million people. I mean, that's a lot of people. And some,
but you know, the thing of it is the president during the last 15 years who threw them all, not threw them out, but wanted to make sure that they were, you know, had their papers and everything, was Barack Obama.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, I know.
He was as tough as anybody. And even Biden was more tough than that's going on now. But these tactics that they're using, they have no place in our American society. I'm sorry. I just don't buy into it and what they're doing. And, you know, young kids is seeing their parents ripped away from them and things like that. And 90% of them are good, hardworking people, you know.
I agree there. But when you see some of the ones they get, they got to go. They got, you know, rapists, child molesters, murderers, drug dealers. It's hard to, what is the term? You're to separate the wheat from the shaft. How's that?
Well, that's pretty good, huh?
That's an old term.
It's just like, as this show's being recorded, I mean, they just gave a pardon to the former president of Honduras.
I know.
For 40 years for dealing drugs. 40 years and he was convicted in an American court and everything, and all of a sudden, well, that was the Biden administration, therefore this guy's okay.
That's got me, well, I was gonna say that's got me half nuts, but you realize that would make a hole because I didn't start this with a full bag. But John, you know, both parties got to sit down and have a chit chat with each other. And one of the ones, I think of my saintly Irish mother. She's rolling in her grave every time a couple of these get on and start dropping the F-bomb. You know, because her thing was, people who curse and swear are just stupid.
I see our country. I have faith in our country coming
together.
I really do, because I think they've reached the point in Washington, and that's on both sides of the aisle. We have to work together, and the Democrats have to work with the Republicans and vice versa. And they see the importance of this country and what we have to do. And I, God help us. I'm a believer in it, and I hope I can see it. And soon.
Me too. And I would like to say this, as we go into the Christmas season and the Hanukkah season in the new year, 2026, I wish you the very best, the good health, easy sleds, as they say. But and I do want to say on air, I want to thank you for your years of friendship, and you, while we, and again, I think we're examples of showing people it's okay to disagree. I will still send him a Christmas card.
You used to send me some other cookies too on the
side. I know, but I
cut back on that now.
Well, so. my baking days have kind of collapsed. I may go out to BJ. But what I want to say before I go, I want to first say something. I had to go to North Adams Hospital for some tests, MRIs, or you know, them in the machine things. And I, John, what a gift that is, having that hospital back. But I would also like to say, I had to, right after, actually this couple days ago, I had to go to Berkshire Medical Center's urgent care in St. Luke's Plaza. And I want to, you know, everybody's quick to criticize and kick in the teeth other people. But when they do well, they don't ever say thank you. Well, I'd like to publicly say thank you to the people at BMC's Urgent Care. You are wonderful to me and wonderful to the Polish princess. I can't say enough good things about you, and I don't want you to take this as a threat, but we'll be back next time we're sick.
Well, let me tell you something. I echo that, too. I used the urgent care facility when I had a bad infection in my foot several years ago. And of course, the new hospital that we have in North Adams now, yeah. That North Adams Regional Hospital, the Reincarnate, that's one of my proudest accomplishments that I can say. I lost my last election for mayor based on that issue of bringing that hospital back. And yeah. Lo and behold, I was a state rep when it came back and helped in that process. And a lot of credit goes to, of course, the leadership at BMC, Berkshire yep. Medical Center, but also both Berkshire Healthcare Systems. I mean, they were terrific. They got it done. And of course, Richie Neal. I mean, you know, nothing happens without strong political leadership in a lot of areas. And he was terrific. He got it done. He made it sound simple. I just changed a few words around.
Yeah, he always makes
a few words around that meant a lot to a lot of people.
He's a wonderful fellow, and for the person who wrote the article, yes, he's in the Berkshires quite a bit, and when he's not physically here, he's making sure that we're taken care of. Two examples, Representative Barrett just gave you, and the old fat ball guy just said, John, the best. We'll be in touch. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Be
Thank
well,
you.
My friend. Keep on, keep on.